certain topics weren't taboo, like drugs and things like that, and people could get educated on them, a lot less people would be doing heroin or fucking meth, because they would be like, for one thing, there's actually demonizing the word drug is wrong, because then you have people who go, oh, weed is just as bad as heroin or meth. And somebody smoking weed thinks they're a piece of shit because they're smoking weed. And somebody offers them some meth or heroin, and they go, well, I was told these things are just as bad as the other. Because again, a parent or whoever is trying to, or a teacher is trying to use fear tactics to get them to not do weed by saying it's as bad as these other drugs. And then all of a sudden, it's not as big of a transition for that person. Just because, again, we're too afraid to educate the reality of it. Weed really isn't that bad, dude. But heroin,
Yeah.
I'd say that shit. And then somebody like me, who grew up with, thank goodness, people who did teach me those lessons, they, you know, they were like, honestly, weed isn't that bad, but that other stuff, man, that stuff is just something that I would never do. And I have the same philosophy now, you know?
Yeah. And I just, it's interesting that you say that, because I think I just had a okay. I can't. I don't know this person directly, but his dad's a cop. Now, this guy drinks every day, but he will not sit for anyone smoking weed around him. And I think that's so interesting,
Oh my
considering the benefits of weed and the detriment of like alcohol. And I don't get how someone, like, obviously I'm not against alcohol,
Yeah.
but like, when you have, like, I see so many people who smoke weed that are okay with people who drink, but I see so many people who drink who hate the fact that people smoke. And I'm like, when I hear their arguments, it's always the, like, it's wrong. And I'm like, what? It's illegal. I'm like, it's, for most places, it's not anymore. And they're like, yeah, but it was. And I'm like, so was alcohol. I'm like, well, it's bad for your lungs. And I'm like, you think liquor's good for the liver? Like, I can't understand their arguments ever. Like, it's like they contradict themselves, because when you bring it up, they're like, it's different. How? I don't know. And I'm like, you're fucking annoying me. Like, I can't stand people.
I mean,
Yeah.
on a physical level, like you can measure the, you know, effects of alcohol, and you know it's bad. But let's go to an even easier example. Fucking cigarettes, dude. I smoked cigarettes for years, and I to this day no longer smoke cigarettes and wonder how the fuck did I ever let myself do that? Like it is actually like literally short-term suicide. Like I could not believe I was smoking as much as I was smoking. And to be honest, it was because I was stressed out of my mind at the time. But the point is, because weed is so demonized, I actually would get my relief from cigarettes instead of smoking weed. I would smoke weed to go to bed, and that was it. And you do you. But yeah, and so the harsh reality is, I would have to smoke like a pack of cigarettes to get enough nicotine buzz for a long enough amount of time to take away my stress for the day. Whereas I could just take a rip from a bong and be high for hours. So on just a measurable physical level, I was, you know, damaging my body so much. And this is totally legal. This is totally accepted. You know, you can, I was smoking cigarettes with my boss outside during break, like not a big deal. But, and that's totally okay and accepted in society too. Like, none of my customers would care if I smoked cigarettes, whatever. But if they knew I smoked weed, like, oh, it'd be such a big deal that I'm not murdering myself with cigarettes. I'm smoking weed instead. Even though, you know, looking back, I probably wouldn't do either. Like, there's edibles, there's other ways to protect your lungs and stuff and make weed really not that harmful at all. But even in that example, it's so obvious that weed is not nearly as bad as this other thing, yet society has its opinion so flipped.
Yeah, and I'll even say, go ahead, Tan, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You got me.
I'll even say that, like, so when the first time I tried, like, weed,
Yeah.
it was it was so good and I felt so much better. But at the end of the day, I wanted to stop. I did. One time, I think you were there, Tyen. We were in LA, some college thing, bunch of fucking people. We went on the road.
Oh yeah, it was
you, me and you were fucking drunk. Now I had vaped before, but I had never smoked cigarettes.
Oh, we lit
and that. And we went and smoked cigarettes on the roof. And dude, when I was drunk and we smoking, I didn't think I'd like that shit at all. In fact, I remember a time where I have to say this. I remember a time I was with Tyen and we were at fucking Disneyland and we're like, I don't know, maybe 15, 16. And he's just like, I can't understand why people would smoke. And me and him were dogging that shit. We're dogging that shit. We're like, bro, I will never be like them, blah, blah, blah. We talked about that at one point about weed too. And I'm like, we dogged that shit. And that's because we're grown up to dog that shit. Like, we were raised to dog that shit.
Oh, yeah, we were raised on air. Terrible, terrible.
But to bring it back, I smoked. And, you know, that was cool. And then, I don't know if that was the first time or was the other time was when I was with a friend who got drunk. But every time I get, like, super drunk now and I'm out, like, outside. Not inside. I don't like that. But outside and it's cold. I like crave like smoking a cigarette, and it's insane to me because I've had to go long periods of time without smoking weed, and I've been fine. But like, even smoking a cigarette once, and like driving, and I saw someone smoking in my head. I didn't say anything, but in my head, I was like, I want to smoke, and I was like, that's a problem. That's a problem, and so it was crazy to me. I'm like. I always thought like, oh, I'm like, dude, why can't you quit? You can always stop, blah, blah, blah. But after smoking one, like I started having like, and even till sometimes, like if I'm drinking and I'm out and it's cold and someone has a cig and they're smoking it, I'll be like, yo, can I get one? And it, like, that really happens because I don't have any friends that smoke, but like, I still, like if I'm with someone who does, and I'm drunk, I'll ask for one. And I think it's insane that one time was like, because before that, I never even would have touched down. Like, it smells like shit. So it's like insane to me how, like, actually addicting it is. That's the first time I think I ever experienced. And I'm not addicted because obviously I don't fucking smoke. I don't go buy it. I don't do that. But it's crazy to me how easy. Like, if that's how I feel after one and, like, I still, like, sometimes want to do it, I can't imagine if I, like, actually picked it up and then
tried to stop. It's nuts, man. Like, when I first did, when I first did blow, I literally found out that, oh, like, addiction means something else than what they, like, describe it at in school. Yeah. Like, the way they painted a picture in school is so weird. It sounds so, for me, like, when I heard it in school, I was always like, oh, you know, I can, well, if it's just a craving, like, I can just tell my body, no, you know, I can fight cravings and stuff like that. But it's a weird, weird sense of incompletion that I don't know how to really put into words.
Yeah,
but
it's like, I need this right now. Nothing, like, as soon as you want it, like, I've had craving for food. That's completely different. Like, well, it's like, I need this, and nothing feels right if I don't have that right now. And that feels like shit. And I'm like, oh. But go ahead, Andrew. Sorry, I kind of cut you off.
Yeah, no, you're good. I mean, like, honestly, it's a weird thing that if people, I think, understand a little bit more of the options that they have, because again, like, I wouldn't ever feel like I needed to do any drugs if, like, at the time in my life everything was perfect and somebody offered me cocaine, I'd probably say, no, dude, I'm good. You know, very infrequently does a person have an addiction problem and everything's perfect in their life. They actually find out most of the time it's a coping mechanism, you know. And I think if we had better education on drugs and better legalization on drugs, people would cope differently. For example, when I had like self-diagnosed depression, right? Because I didn't actually get clinically diagnosed, but I'm pretty sure, you know, I had depression. And it was kind of crazy to have struggled with, because for me, I don't know if you know a little bit of backstory. I was really hardcore religious growing up and, like, you know, totally hardcore, like, conservative, Republican. And then after high school, I basically explored the world, and for a time became hardcore atheist, hardcore liberal, you know, like totally opposite. And now I'm like landing in the middle and admitting I don't know what the fuck's going on. Like everybody's crazy, you know? And so for a time I had a really bad, like existential, like depression. I, you know, before had believed in an afterlife. That belief got ripped out from under me as I learned more about the world and science, and it seemed less and less real. And, you know, the fact that there's all these other religions that have just as much reputable, like, information as to say it's true as my religion had, it's as old or older than my religion, all that kind of stuff. So it was something that I didn't feel like I would get over, you know, many nights without sleeping. So I coped with a lot of different drugs. What was weird was I did a lot of shrooms one night and I completely woke up existentialist, like, dread free. No existentialist dread, absolute appreciation for life, just didn't feel depressed anymore, didn't feel isolated, didn't feel disconnected. And it felt really weird, kind of like you know, anticlimactic. And I was like, okay, that's really strange. And as I read a lot about it, and now even legally in Washington, psilocybin has been actually decriminalized for medical reasons. They have found that what happens when you do this drug, your brain reconnects neural pathways that had been damaged before and allows for proper, you know, transference of information in your body and brain. And in other words, it basically helps to balance your system and repair broken systems. So I had done that without even realizing it. And if I had knew that was out there, that was an option, I would have started with that shit and avoided all the addiction in the first place. Yeah. You know? So sorry for the whole life story, but all that to say that.
No, you're fine. I do want to put real quick a disclaimer. Hey, do not go. This is not a promotion. What we're saying, just because we've had our experiences and whatever, this is not a promotion for you to go and do what you do, especially if you're underage. You make a decision. It's as an adult. An informed decision. I always make an informed decision. Do not go off what other people, what we hear. Well, go look it up for yourself, okay? This is not a promotion. This is just us talking about our experiences. Some people have good. Some people have bad. Look it up. Research. Do it yourself.
Yep.
With that being said, I'm not going to name what I did or whatever. Maybe it's different for me, you know, I'm on camera, boys. But there was this one thing, and it felt really good. And then in the morning, it felt really bad. Really bad. And when I realized what was happening, I was like, this is so dumb. I didn't stop me from feeling bad, but I was like, this is so dumb. I know why I'm feeling bad now. So, like, it helped out that I wasn't feeling bad. But after that happened, I actually wanted to do it again because it brought up so many problems. Now, like, I'm a very understanding person of myself, and I know, like, why I think things and stuff. But it really put to light all the insecurities and problems I had and why I felt the way I did. That I was like, dude, maybe I'll do this 1 year later and see if any of that's gone away now, you know? I don't know how to explain it, but basically, like, a lot of thoughts that I already had was forced all together at the same time. And that's when I realized that those thoughts were kind of an issue. And so after having those type of thoughts and realizing those type of thoughts were an issue, I really went ahead and tried to work and get those under control. And I just wonder if I'd feel the same now, because I feel like even though I know the reason, maybe I'd feel bad, but I wouldn't feel bad for the same reasons, or maybe I'd feel bad less because those reasons aren't there anymore. And like, I feel like it really, when you say you're over something, I feel like whatever what happened, if I was to do it, I'd find out if I really was over it. If that makes sense. I don't know if what I'm saying makes any sense to you guys, but yeah. But yeah, I went through an experience and that was eye-opening for me. I won't name it because, I'm not gonna.
What I'll say, for a lot of my experiences, like he was saying, for sure, not until you're adult. I was against drugs for a while, mainly because I didn't do research on them. But when I got into college and I was like free to do whatever I wanted, I actually took classes and like learned about it. And that's when I was like, oh yeah, this is what it does. And then yeah, I'm totally going to do these things. Like I had no problem doing it anymore. Like at the end of the day, what you ultimately find out about most drugs is okay, first of all, anything that is a drug is something that you ingest and it psychologically affects you. So for any fucker that's like, oh, when it says don't bring in drugs or alcohol, fuck them. Alcohol is a drug. Fuck anyone that says alcohol is not a drug. It is a drug. It is
mind-boggling that it doesn't fit in that category.
That is actually insane. Like, because yeah. It does so much damage to your body.
I think if you look up the definition, it's anything that makes a physical or mental change to your body.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So it's like...
Can I pause the conversation real quick? This is going to be crazy. This is going to be crazy. Yeah. So I'm on my 9th and 10th shot, and are you going to take one with me, dude? I'm like,
I'll take one.
I feel like I'm buzzing over here by myself, bro.
Damn, son.
While we're having a conversation about alcohol is a drug and it's bad for you. In moderation, yeah. You know? Hey. To you, to what you do. It's worse than weed. It's worse than weed for sure. But hey, to you.
Yeah.
But you poured one up. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but like I had this poured for a while, and you know, I was starting to lose the buzz. I don't know if you guys, do you guys have the camera pulled up, or are you guys just talking?
Like, can you? I'm just talking.
So you guys haven't seen me at all.
No, I'm watching you.
Oh, so you guys have seen me just been like drinking in the middle of this. Like,
yeah.
I just wanted someone to take a little shot with me. You know what I'm saying?
Let's do it.
Okay, I'm going.
What do you guys think? We're going for 3 hours, or what do you think?
I got
as long as until someone wants to stop, bro. I know you said you have to go somewhere, bro. If you gotta go, feel free. Don't feel awkward to leave, bro.
Yeah, it's all good. I'm thinking 5 minutes will hit 3 hours, so I'm gonna shoot for that.
Okay.
So I did a lot of classes and research and stuff, and based on like what Andrew was talking about, a lot of psychedelics are very, very helpful in healing. LSD is used for PTSD patients. You got psilocybin, which really helps. DMT, which is connected with, it's already produced in your brain through near-death experiences. That's how people have in touch with God moments and things like that. But it's crazy that like you have studies that show how helpful certain drugs are, and then studies that show how terrible they are, all these other ones are. And then these other ones, you know, because they're cheaper and easier to make, get sold a lot better. And then the other drugs get demonized because of either who's using them or who is trying to make money off of it or whatever. And then it just destroys these reputations. And now people don't, like you're saying, you didn't take shrooms. Like, that's something I still haven't done yet, and I really definitely want to. I've done acid, though, and that was very same. Like, for a while, because when I started smoking weed, the first time I did it, didn't really feel it, but then I started, like, doing it by myself, and I was way more chilled out about everything and could put myself into perspective. And, like, but once I started doing that and started realizing, like, more about the world and, like, how the human condition is literally ridiculous and we'll go to war for no reasons and stuff like that, I was just like, so what can I actually, like, do? Like, even if I'm just a cog, like, is this a cog towards betterment? Or am I just a cog that ends in disaster anyways? Like, if that's the point, then why there should be none? But then with acid, it's more like it starts to open up and reconnecting me to those things as well, where I'm just like, oh, like, even if that is the case, this is always going to be the way things are going to be. Like, you have to live life at the end of the day. So the idea that I'm gonna drink and stuff did not, like, after acid, is not as appealing. Like, things like alcohol and smoking, where weed was fine, it didn't bother me as much, but like was not, didn't crave it. And then alcohol, I was like, that's disgusting. But it's just so weird how it's just like my brain's instantly like, nah, to be connected, these things are essentially made to disconnect you. That's why they're coping mechanisms. You are connected, so like, let me feel about being disconnected. While these other drugs are meant to reconnect you to the world around you. which, like, if this is about nature and being the strongest, then yeah, alcohol is the best way to go. But if this is about, like, society and government, then ultimately it's like these psychedelics and stuff are better to go. It's about being connected, being there for people, even when it might be harder for you. But alcohol is about me.
And to be honest, we tried to make that shit illegal. Prohibition. And that didn't work out.
All reasons. That's the, always the issue. They try. They say they try, and they do it for reasons that are not okay, and so people don't want it done. And then they're like, "But we try." No, fuck you guys. You did not try.
No, exactly. And then what's crazy is, you know, when people say, "Oh, it's illegal," like you were saying, talking about, well, so was alcohol. It's like it's so weird when people let that narrative control their opinion about the subject, when it's like, okay, yeah, it's illegal right now, but let's try the fact that every human civilization for thousands of years that we can pull data from was in a sense spiritual, and most of them had ties to psychedelics and drugs, like the majority of them. So especially like advanced, or what we would call advanced, like civilizations like in the Amazon, where they had I don't know if you guys know, but in the Amazon rainforest there were stories of amazingly huge cities, and when an explorer went there, and 100 years later people tried to go and see what cities he was talking about, and there was nothing there, and they found out that there were actually civilizations of millions of people. But the person who went there, the explorer, had brought like smallpox and killed everybody, which he didn't know at the time when he went there and he visited and he left and he told stories about it. They all thought he was a liar, but through LIDAR, which is this like radar system that can see through the trees, they find these structures that exist, could only exist and support a population of millions of people. And the compost there, this is what's crazy, the compost there is so advanced. The soil in the Amazon is actually really terrible. It's actually really like some of the worst soil in the world. But this advanced composting that they had, it would be able to make any soil instantly fertile for growing like anything. It's an extremely advanced compost. What's crazy is it has a microbiome makeup that is not native to that area. So they have no idea how Amazonians did it. And what's crazy is that we like to say that, you know, every species or every human civilization back then was dumb or inferior to us, when in reality they could have been advanced in ways we can't even comprehend, and those ways could have been accessed through these psychedelic experiences that we put off the table.
100%. Especially if you think about a lot of Native American tribes and stuff like that, with things like that, and their connection to, like, we instantly assume their connection to the world is incorrect because we grasp these other ideas, but like they didn't have trouble until the settlers came. Like, it's not like, yes, you can say they didn't have all these big buildings and stuff, but like at the end, that's what I always think is interesting. If a society progresses so that they could fly to space in 100 years, but they blow themselves up at 50 years, why does it matter to the society that goes to space in 300 years if they actually get to fucking space? So their whole idea of like, we're just so advanced because we have all this stuff now, is like, nah, you can be completely in the wrong direction, so it doesn't even matter. Like, yeah, pyramids, the Romans literally had aqueducts, and then they just lose all that information. And then we have to go through a black flag. Are you kidding me? If you had aqueducts and all of the fucking clean systems and bathrooms, UK would have never, or Europe would have never had to go through the fucking black flag in the first place. And then you just avoid that situation altogether.
Oh, dude, try this one exercise. So the Library of Alexander, I think it's what it's called. Might be Alexandria, but this library. This library had, it was at a trading port And what would happen is ships would come in, and then as they come in, the town would go in, take all the scrolls, every parchment, every piece of paper, and bring it into the library, make a copy of it, give the ship the copy, and keep the original. This library had information from every corner of the world and for all of human civilization. Everything that had been saved up to that point was in this library. And Middle Easterns went and burnt it down to the ground because it didn't agree with the Quran. And so we lost, they said, estimated about 1,000 years of progress. Like, and that means we today would be 1,000 years ahead of where we are right now if that library didn't get burnt down. Isn't that nuts to think about?
A lot of religious crusades did that, if I'm mistaken. Maybe that's the same one, but I think the Catholics did the same thing. And it's just unfortunate that, like, that shit will never... That's so much shit we'll probably could have seen and we'll never get to fucking get to look at. But
insane. Imagine if they literally had how they built up pyramids in there.
God, they probably had some shit in there. Like, it's just, you know, but religion, you know, we don't do anything wrong.
But that's the thing, is like every big society is religious. I don't think there's ever been an atheist, a large-scale atheist civilization that could do anything.
No, that would have been... That's completely fair. I'm just saying that it's unfortunate that there's always the crusade part, you know?
It's always in the name of, right?
Yeah.
We're doing this because... Yeah, and it's...
Exactly. That's why I don't think there can really be an atheist uprising, right? Because that would essentially go against what the idea of atheism really even is. Like, grouping together for one cause now defeats the purpose.
So that begs a really interesting question, which is religion an adaptation necessary for humans to survive as a civilization?
I think religion is an adaptation of... It's like a further adaptation of emotion. Like, it's almost like... Because that always takes in the spiritual aspect, right? This understanding that there can be more to life itself. And then when people start grouping together, they start misconstruing what those ideas are. And they do things. They do things that are more than life. They just sometimes do them in the wrong manner. And that causes harmful things. Because it's like, instead of looking at religion as, oh, it's the belief in God, it's more a belief in behavior. So we believe in God. That, because at that point, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what God you believe in. That's what annoys me about religious arguments the most. They're like, well, my God's this and this and this. And it's like, so what? Who cares what you call your God? Well, my God says we have to do this every day. And it's like, okay, and if I don't, well, then we have to kill you. What? No, now you're saying I have to behave like that? And it's like, yes. Because if you look at animals like dolphins, who have an adapted or have a stronger emotional concept, they do think, I wouldn't say they have a religion, but they do a lot of things together that suggest they connect in an almost religious way, like, I don't know, terrorizing seals all the time, or like literally they'll throw seals in the air, let them splat against the water, and then not eat them. Like, it's not like, oh, they're doing this to get their food tender. No, they're just not eating them. Like, they're all getting together to have fun killing these animals. And that's their religion. That's what they want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas other animals without an emotional concept, they just do whatever occurs. They're just more responsive to whatever is going out towards them. They don't have a religious belief. Or dogs who have a loyalty, you know, that you could look at that like zealot cultists. It's the same kind of idea.
That is really interesting. That is a really interesting point, because I never really thought of it like that. Because yeah, if you think about it, I don't know if humans, we have a tendency to defer to leaders, and we also have a tendency to breed followers, which is really interesting. Like, if you look at the statistical, like, if you just look at the ratio of how many natural leaders there are to people who are more inclined to be followers, obviously it's a very like unbalanced ratio. There's a very small percentage of people who do automatically fall into the leadership role. Again, I feel like majority of people have the capacity to become leaders, but I feel like very few people are born natural leaders. And I wonder if that's an adaptation. And I wonder if that adaptation got confused or crossed over with the religious aspect. The following a leader may be flawed because the leader is finite and because the leader just may be wrong, maybe stupid, you know? But if you follow a concept, that concept is now taking the role of the leader and everybody can be their happy follower self, it does breed some sense of organization and also, I mean, you know, control for somebody, right? Under the guise of the leader.
Because what happens once enough people, like you have a leader and they have a concept or idea, and this is the part that I think is so funny, like we are so quick to say that we are alive and other things are not alive. But then we also believe in God as a concept, which is insane because it's like, well, God's not alive, but he is. If you think about the concept of what life is, if he creates life, he is in fact living. He's not living in life's constraints. She would be instead life itself, but like still, it's a part of life. So what were you saying, Andrew, in that last part?
Just deferring to that leadership.
So then that concept of, all right, if I can make an ideal and everybody's following this ideal and they have energy towards this ideal, it is now alive. People want to be like, well, it's not a living. No, it's a living thing now, because when someone hears this ideal and they're part of this, they will now abide by it. That will be their behavior. It'll become a program. So now it's like we're creating a simulation in itself. We're using words, creeds, and books to then create a system of behaviors and programs and codes that people will abide by to then become what we see as better. The issue is when people, like anything that's living, it needs proper maintenance. So when the maintenance isn't handled properly and you have new leaders that then distort the code and update their own viruses, then shit becomes way too fucked up.
100%. In fact, it's kind of crazy that you mentioned it, but they really are creating the first layer of simulation, right? With this religion, because it, a person goes there into, I remember when I was in fourth grade, I had like a reading buddy. He was in like first grade. And I think I was reading him this like little book, because that's what you do. You with your reading buddy, you read like this little kid a book, right? For like 30 minutes or an hour. And so basically I was reading him this book and the book like mentioned God, and he asked me who God was. I was like, God, he's the guy who created. I was like 10 or 9, I don't remember. But to my knowledge at that point, I was like, how do you not know who God is? He literally created everything, you know? And this kid was an atheist, born and raised. And I got to talk to by like one of the teachers about like not sharing my religion with people. I was like, I'm so, what does that mean? Sharing my religion? What is everyone talking about? Do people not know God made everything? Cause it's pretty like, you know, it was just the reality I lived in. It was actually impossible for me to believe or not feel the existence of God. You know, it was so real in my world back then.
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, it was like living in a simulation.
With that, I was going to say something with that. When you guys are talking about natural born leaders and talking about the concepts and following, I was going to say that's, at first I was going to say that concept is interesting to me because I feel like I'm not a natural born leader, but I also, I'm not a long term person. I end up disliking things I originally liked very quickly. And so very quickly I will see problems with something that doesn't match up with how I see things and I won't like it. So while I might follow it I might defer, like for example, just little things. Like I'd rather not have someone decide something for me, but I'd be like, if someone's like, okay, we're gonna do this and that, I'd be like, okay, decide that, and then I'll conform to that, you know. And then eventually I'll be like, you're taking but like I also have an issue with, like, so like if I think it's inefficient or it's dumb or whatever, I'm like, you're taking too long, this is dumb, I stop. But I guess my point going to, I don't know why I fucking brought that up, it doesn't fucking matter. The whole point is what you're saying is, another a story to say something like that is, my sister went to a church with her friend one time, and they told her that if you're not saved, you're going to hell. Incidentally, my parents were having a party with a bunch of friends that night. So my sister came home, and it was like a camp thing, like for like 2 weeks to a month. And she came home, and she started asking people at the party. Now, my sister's like 8, 7. And she's at this party, and she's asking adults, are you saved? And they're like, no, I'm not, honey. And my sister's like, you're going to hell. You need to get saved right now. And I'm like, my parents are like, what? She's before my parents got to her, she said this to pretty much everyone at the party. So she got in trouble, and they're like, what are you doing? And they're like, they told me you wouldn't. Like, she thought she was helping. But it's, like, insane to me. Like, okay, it's not insane to me. But it's, like, obviously, like, I can see how, especially when you're younger and you really, truly believe something, you're like, I'm just trying to help. But I can see how, like, when you're older, if you still truly believe those things, why you would do and say the things you do, because you truly believe those things, right? And I guess the reason why I brought up what I said is because it's like, for me, I've never been able to follow something for longer than, like, I always feel like there's nothing can, I don't know, man. I just can't.
You're not a passionate person.
Even with little things, like, it's, I mean, I'm saying, like, I mean, religion is a big thing, and that stuff is a big thing, but even little things, like, stuff that I'll personally, like, computer case, stickers, a fucking tattoo. I think it would be sick to get a tattoo, but I know damn well if I got a tattoo 3 months in, I'd be like,
The reason I won't get a tattoo is because, and you know me, I'm really into, like, goth culture, like, I'm a big fan of it, but I don't indulge because I'm always so hesitant about doing things that are something I might, because that one goth fucking style is expensive as fucking hell, you know.
Yeah.
And if I buy something, I don't know if I'm gonna be like, well, shit, I kind of wish I spent money on this, you know, because that will never end. There's always something else. So same thing with a tattoo. I was like, if I want to get a tattoo, which admittedly I think would be pretty fucking cool, how am I going to deal with that 10 years from now? I have to think about that because it's going to be on me 10 years from now, you know? And I don't think I would want that tattoo 10 years from now. There's very little things I would want, like, a decade later. Even if I was to marry someone, like, essentially, we're going to be growing and changing as people, you know, together for the rest of our lives. You know, like, and we'll constantly fine-tune who we are as humans. Well, what we wanted in our early 20s may not be the same priorities in our 40s, you know? That's just normal human nature. So I can't do the permanent shit. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if that was too much off topic, but I think it. That's why it's crazy to me that someone can stick with something for so long. But that's just because it's coming from a perspective. I can't even stick with something for that long. And it doesn't matter if it's a big thing or a long thing, like religion. I was very religious as a kid. And I am very, I wouldn't say I'm the opposite, but I'm not the religious kid I was when I was a kid. I'm just not.
Yeah. I like the Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm a huge fan of his. I like his approach on, like, how I view myself. So he says he doesn't call himself an atheist just because he concedes to the notion of what it means to call yourself an atheist today in today's society. And he got attacked because he told one of his friends who was going up in the space, he posted on social media, he said, hey, Godspeed to you, you know? Which is a popular headline back when John Glenn went into space. The headline on the newspaper was Godspeed John Glenn. You know, so it's a popular expression in space travel. And so he said it. And he got attacked by the atheist community and said, how could you say Godspeed? I thought you were an atheist. And he's like, well, hold on a sec. Why do you say goodbye? It's a contraction of God be with you. And my goal as a person who doesn't personally believe in God, if you read the definition of an atheist, it kind of applies to him. But he, if being an atheist in today's society means actively taking God out of things and not using the word God in any sense, then I'm not an atheist in that case, because I really don't care either way. So that's kind of my view on it. I'm like, if you read the definition, technically it applies to me. Like, I don't have a belief in God. I'd be lying if I said I did. But I also have no interest in, like, actively taking God out of things. And I think conversation, I don't think silencing is ever the way to solve misinformation, right? Because if anything, silencing people gives them a conspiracy theory level of validation. Why do you want to silence them? You know?
Like, he's not wrong. Like, that's like me being like, all right, I don't like anime, okay? Goku Speedy with you. What? I thought you hated anime. Okay, but to be fair, if we're talking about speed here, if God does exist, even if I'm an atheist, you know, if God did exist, he would be the fastest thing ever, right? Like, in theory, he would be the fastest thing ever, so...
I always think it's interesting people who come from a background where they are seen as different and then change because of that background, but then proceed to do the very same thing that they left that other background for. So I think, I could be wrong, but I think a majority of atheists were probably very religious when they grew up, or at least forced to learn a lot. Like, they're usually, atheists are very knowledgeable about the, like, religious texts. Some, like, I would even argue that I've seen a lot of, out of the atheists I've personally met, have been more knowledgeable than people I've met that are religious.
It's usually why they became atheist. You know, you start reading passages where somebody tried to have people rape their daughters instead of angels, and you're like, well, I don't think that was the first choice they should have had, you know?
Yeah. And I just, yeah. To me, the problem with that is, like, so when you go and become this, and then someone else who's this, and you're like, how could you say that? You're this. And it's like, didn't you leave this? Because isn't it, like, you want this open-minded thing. It's okay for you to say one thing. And, like, I'll say I'm agnostic, but because of how I grew up, I find myself, and when I'm in hard times, still praying to the guy upstairs. And I bring that up all the time. And I think it's, a part of me is like, why am I doing this? But it's like, I just feel better when I do it. But that's just how it happened. I don't know. Like, I just feel better. If it helps me, why does it matter why I do it? Even if I don't necessarily...
Could I try to explain it?
Yeah.
This is how I look at it. Just because, I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong. And we're kind of similar. But I grew up in a religious background, too. And I'm going to tell you right now. If I was raised under 7 different religions, and something bad was happening, I would pray to all the fucking gods. Are you kidding me? I'm the type of person who just checks my boxes. So because I'm like, part of me knows, yeah, like, I don't, there's no proof, but, like, is now the time I want to say I'm wrong? Because I know my luck. And if right now I don't do it, I did done fucked up. So I might as well just check all my X's and O's. Bam, we're going now. Because even... Because also look at it, for me, at the end of the day, it doesn't, it's not about what God you're focused on. It's about you being focused on believing in it happening, right? So if that's what works for you, and that's what you want to put your efforts towards, like, just focus. So I'm going to check all my boxes and make sure that shit goes wrong. I still pray.
That's fair. I think I am. I think it is a little bit of a chip. Because, like, it's out of, like people don't want to say this. They would say, oh, he's loving in this. That's a God of fear. From Christianity. God of fear. Not a lot of love. God of fear. I'm afraid to go down to hell. Me. If I'm fucking wrong, I don't want to go down to hell. I'll talk to the guy sometimes. Hey, how come you talk to other people? They told me you spoke to them. Hey, give me a sign. Not a sign. Actually, just talk to me. You're omnipotent. I mean, to be like, I sound like I'm making a joke out of it, but I really do, like,
and I've thought,
especially, like,
I mean, not to interrupt you, but I've thought long and hard about that particular subject, about if God was real, can't he just like prove himself to me? Because then this whole existential crisis that I had growing up would not exist, you know? I thought about it and I was like, I wonder if God exists, that he gives us the ability to have the benefit of the doubt. Because think about it. I'm connected with somebody who's like a actually really big theologian, and he says there's some obvious limits to God's power. And he's a really big Catholic, you know, he's not demeaning God in any way. He's saying God can't make a boulder too big for him to carry. God has to obey a certain level of rationality, as God is a rational being. So if God could create a boulder that was so big for him to carry, then, or so big that he can't carry it, then he can't do anything or everything, right? And if he could do anything and everything, then he would also be able to carry that boulder. So that's it's a paradox. There is limits to his power. So God can't create humans to have free will and also have all the answers. Because then if they did, if I knew God existed, well, now I have to obey every little thing. I can't even have a bad thought. Like, I know God's real and I don't have any leeway. But because I don't know, I have the benefit of the doubt, where God can say he did his best without having the confirmation that I exist, but he lived his life pretty good. He wasn't a dick, at least most of the time. And, you know, he will get the pass to go to heaven. Whereas if I did know that God exists and I was still being a dick, it's like, dude, that's pretty much like, that's fucked up. You know, like, it got to send you to hell. You know, do we have benefit not knowing because of that? And does that make us, is that part of the recipe that makes us have free will?
Well, I also look, yeah, because it's also the idea, like, if you know everything, so if you ever watch Sherlock, I fucking love Sherlock, I love the one with Iron Man, I can't remember his name right now, but the one with Cumberbatch, so good. But he makes a statement where, like, if you, like, the world is math, right? And if you can find all the equations and you knew all the math for everything and you could know every single event that was going to happen, then you would never make the wrong decision. Because why would you make the wrong decision if you had complete information? If you have incomplete information mixed with emotions, it makes sense. Because it almost seems like emotions is hopefully a way to train and supersede the fact that we don't get complete information. But for the most part, without complete information, it's hard for you to make an informed decision. Thus, God, the whole point of free will being here, like, people are like, oh my gosh, God won't help me. It's like, well, that's the point of being a free will. If you wanted God to do it, then he would just control everyone like a puppet. What good is that for, like, what good is that existence? He just, like, sitting there running a machine all day? Like, everyone wants to look at it like, oh man, but I want happiness. And it's like, if you think you're part of God and you're from God and happiness is something you seek, then don't you think that's something that God is also seeking? If you believe in that and you believe you are a part of them, yes. And you're like, oh, but God would be fulfilled if he's a perfect being. If God was a perfect being and he was fulfilled, then he created things. Like, creation in itself is destruction. We know that with the idea of the Big Bang. We know that with literally creating anything on this planet, you have to destroy something. If that's the case, God most likely destroyed part of himself in creating us. Thus, he had a choice. I can either run this system for the rest of the time, the rest of my eternity, or I can let the system do as it will and give it free will. I give it free will so that hopefully it can enjoy happiness, because I, God, would like happiness. But you have to choose that all the time. It's a difficult choice to make, because happiness isn't just, oh, let me just do nothing all day and have fun with people. No, happiness is contributing to the system that was also put in place. Thus, I will put down rules. And then you have the whole idea of it getting washed away and killing people. And then it's like, people are like, oh, well, God is merciful. I'm like, he killed many people, like, without hesitation. It's been written down. That's not his forte. He put down Jesus, to forgive all of you guys, because at the end of the day, it's like a parent trying to teach a spoiled ass kid all these manners, and every single fucking time the kid's like, fuck it, we're gonna do what we want, let's kill everybody else, and you're just like, okay, whatever, I'm gonna put my son down here because you guys can't stop sinning. Like, that's what that book was about. Like, clearly people won't stop sinning, you want to just keep doing stupid shit, so whatever.
Yeah, I mean, from even with that perspective, I think when people talk about God being perfect, I'm like, a lot of people have a different definition of perfect. And if you were to take the Bible or whatever religious text and really read the actions of God, whatever God you believe in, if you were to take all his actions and then explain it to someone else, but without saying it's God, I have a hard, like, there's no way. It's a hard opinion that nobody would ever call him perfect without knowing who he was. If they knew who he was, they'd probably just say it because they believe God is perfect. But if you look at his actions, there's no way you say that man is perfect. The other thing I have to take into account is, like, we're made in his image, supposedly, and all this other stuff. So what if I was a god? Now, I can't say what I'd do if I was a god. But I can't say what I've done in a game where I was a god. I was tempted to do things that was not a perfect thing to do. I experimented. I did shit. And I'm like, you really think a guy who can do all of that is not going to fuck around? I'm sorry. I just don't. I think he would. And, like, so when I see, I'm like, why won't he do this? Why won't he do that? It's a headache. You probably get annoyed sometimes. Why the fuck do I have to watch you? Why the fuck did you do that? You, like, you did something I didn't want you to do. Whatever, that's what you're gonna do.
It's funny you said that. You know Hobson?
Yeah.
You know Nocturnal Rainbows?
Yeah.
He's like, how do we know if God exists? How do we know it's positive? Like, you know? And it's an interesting line because I mean, the concept that, like, scientifically, that a infinite being exists is not irrational. The concept that the universe started because there was some very dense mass energy, which we know is not infinite, we know is finite, but it was there, is a little bit less rational. An infinite being is not necessarily irrational, be it something that we may not be able to understand or explain, but the concept in and of itself may be more rational than a finite thing just being there for an unexplained reason. So the idea is, if God does exist and he's an infinite being, is he the only one? Is this concept of infinite being synonymous with omniscient and also perfect? Like, are these, do the human story get some things right and embellish others? Like, what are we actually dealing with when we talk about an entity, you know? And no, go ahead.
I was gonna say that's why I like Supernatural. Their interpretation is God as, like, a story writer, right? So he's made multiple universes. And this is just, like, the one he's present in is the one he thinks is going to be the best story version now. And he's been writing for fucking years. And it's just this interesting idea about how multiverses were created and how it's, like, yeah, you know, it started as this super strong being. But, like, as he was creating things, he got bored with this one and moved to the next one and moved to another one.
No, exactly. And, like, well, who's to say that this universe wasn't even created by a super race, you know? Like, if there really was a race out there, I don't know if you guys know, but if you could travel the speed of riding a bicycle from planet to planet to planet, you'd colonize the galaxy in about 1 million years. So if a species like us was, let's say we're 100 years away from interplanetary travel, if they even if it's 1,000 years, it doesn't make a difference in this example. if there was a civilization that started just a million years sooner, which in the, you know, in relatively speaking to the time of the universe, the Earth's 4 billion years old, a million years ain't shit. Like, that's a blink. And so if a civilization started just a million years sooner, they should be every corner of our galaxy now, which is the Fermi paradox. The mathematical data that shows that space should be booming with aliens and the apparent lack of evidence for them is the Fermi paradox. So this is to say, if there was a species that colonized the galaxy that really, I mean, in a billion years, let's say, was so advanced that they created ways to harness the total energy from stars. And they, at that point, I mean, let's just even assume an AI technology that was so advanced that perfected all of this. Could they literally get to the point where they could simulate a Big Bang and create a universe? Because you don't have to actually do, you don't actually have to have the ability, I think, to manifest the beginning of like the Big Bang so much as you just need to trigger something to create it. So there could be a black hole, which already is a paradox, apparent paradox. We don't understand how it exists with our current understanding of physics. It should not exist, but it obviously does. If a black hole was some means to create a universe and somebody found out how to harness it. And that's why we have this belief that there's, or this inclination that there's a creator, is maybe there is a paradoxical creator, but the creator is us. Because time can be an illusion. If you manipulate gravity and things to a certain degree, time no longer exists. So it, could we have created ourselves, or could an advanced civilization have created ourselves? I don't know.
Yeah, but that's what I think is also interesting, because the idea of perfection is like when I think of perfection, when people say perfect, right, it's supposed to be the optimum, no errors in any way. So when you think about like atoms and molecules, what's a way for a molecule to be perfect? Essentially, everything would have to be bonded, or it already has its valence shell completely filled and it's just inert. So the only way for pure perfection to exist is if everything is completely bonded, which essentially would mean nothing was moving and it would be completely stasis. Like, there's no way to exist and to have perfection, because if you strive for perfection, like the way I almost pictured is like, if everyone did exactly what they were supposed to do, like no extra emotion or anything, it was completely only for the progression of everything and only that, everything moved in unison, then you almost look like a cell, right? Where everything is directed by one specific molecule. Everything does what that molecule is saying, because they know that that molecule is protecting the overall cell. So then when everyone on a planet is doing that, like, do you even exist as individuals anymore? Or is that what sparks the becoming of God or greater existence or higher beings? Because you can only achieve such a thing in a perfect simulation or in a perfect world. But you can never achieve a perfect world, because in doing so would then just create a new world.
Yeah, but even with what you're saying, the idea of perfect and reality is boring. If everything was perfect, it'd become predictable. And if it was predictable, it's boring. And if it's boring, who'd want to do it? And when I really think about it, I'm like, even when we create things, we don't want it to be perfect. We want it to be fun. We want it to be useful. We want it to be entertaining on some level. Now, some people might say, no, I want it to be perfect for this, this, and that. But you also kind of want a little conflict, you know? And that's why
Right. Yeah. People get stagnant, and that stagnancy builds a lot of lack of fulfillment, because they do create a self-sustaining system. That's why they say money doesn't buy happiness, you know? Sure, it takes care of everything you thought was what needed to be taken care of, but there are a lot of other things. that you're not getting. You know, that just because all the bills are paid doesn't mean that you're necessarily getting the emotional connection you need from having loved ones, you know, a community, things like that. And most of the time, that lack of fulfillment does come from some stagnancy, no feeling or sensation of belonging and fulfillment, because your job is done. It's being taken care of, you know?
Yeah.
With that, gentlemen, I do got to segue out of this, but this has been a fantastic 3.5 hours. I'm not going to lie. I could probably go for another few hours because I enjoy these topics, but I think we make this a regular thing.